Good morning. Now, I don't have an overly academic speech to give you on this panel of challenges to young conservatives, but I thought the most effective thing I could tell you is to give you some perspective about where I'm coming from and how I ended up at my job. And, you know, I was born in 1982, and I don't remember Ronald Reagan. My memories of him are limited to this foggy image of a guy on a TV and maybe in a newspaper. But, you know, I've heard great things about him, of course. And I grew up in a suburban area just outside of Flint, Michigan, not a conservative enclave by any point. And my parents had a very messy divorce that make for a better soap opera plotline than a personal autobiography. You know, in high school, I probably spent 90% of my time shooting hoops and basketball, the other 5% worrying about boys. And when I heard about President Clinton's midnight basketball program, you know, I thought it sounded cool. Just, I was completely out of touch. I didn't have any interest in politics. I mean, my mom voted for Bush and Clinton because they're both nice guys. And so I went to Ball State University for college. And when I got to campus, there was a Women's Resource Center. There was a Peace and Conflict Study Center. And, you know, there was baskets of condoms in the Student Life Center and the Health Center. In other words, it was the perfect liberal setting for a 17-year-old girl. And none of these things, not knowing Reagan, not my parents, not my natural interest in sports, not my schooling, none of this made me the conservative that I am today. And now, almost 2 years after graduating from college, I'm reporting full-time for what a lot of people describe as the ultra-conservative Human Events, and have a book about Hillary Clinton, which is somewhat a rite of passage for conservative writers now. And so, you know, at some point, my brother kind of, he's a Marine, big, tall, strapping kid. You know, he likes the military and he likes John McCain, and that's what his political thoughts are limited to. He just looked at me and saw that I was doing this and just said, what is your deal? And that's what the kids, that's what I say. And so, I mean, my deal is pretty simple. Human Events is the first professional job that I had that I got at the age of 22, but it's still the 27th job that I've had. Through high school and college, I worked lots of part-time jobs at almost every retail store imaginable. I mean, The Gap, Bath & Body Works, Banana Republic, Sunglass Hut. I waitressed, I hauled golf clubs, I was the beer cart girl, I spread mulch. I mean, anything I could do. I always had two or three jobs because I had to put myself through school. And so most of the time, I had two jobs, sometimes three if I could work it into my schedule. You know, I had to leave class early a lot of times, you know, to make sure I could get to my shift. And after you do that for a couple years, you want to be in class a lot more. I mean, instead of counting the minutes when you get out, you say, man, you know, this could be a good lecture. You know, maybe I wish I could, you know, spend more time in the library doing this. But the critical moment for me came about my junior year of standing in line in the financial aid office. And, you know, the details of my parents' divorce made it very hard to get through the application process. I mean, I dreaded it. I would lie awake at night before, like, the deadline to turn it in, because there's always a paper missing, there's always a signature gone. It was mind-numbing. And so the reason I stayed in school is that I just rammed through these applications for private loans. And so one day I went to the aid office, you know, before I had to go to work, and it was the day that they were giving the checks out for people that got certain scholarships, or the people that got the cheap interest student loans were getting the money back. And they all had a Ball State University stamp on it. I mean, this was money going to some students directly from the school. And so it was a long line. And I was in the back of it, and I was probably there for a half hour watching these kids just get checks for $4,000, $1,500, and going straight to the mall. Going to get, oh good, I can get my new laptop now, or good, you know, I'm gonna get this car. It wasn't going towards books, it wasn't going towards anything, and it just hit me. They're just like, you know, they're there to get their check. And my face got hot, and I just looked at these student loan officers, I was like, oh my God, I am paying high interest loans through Sallie Mae so that they can get a check. And that's, you know, I went home and I stewed about it and I thought about it for a long time. And I said, you know, I got to do something about this. I didn't know how, but I was angry. And, you know, I started talking to some of my friends and, you know, I thought, well, maybe I could join the student paper as a communications kid. I can write. And I went there and they said, well, no, you're not enrolled in the journalism program. You can't join the paper. So I said, okay. So I kind of talked to my friends and, well, maybe I should start our own paper. And then there was a kid that said, you know, I think there's a program out in Washington that helps kids do that. It's called the Leadership Institute. Why don't you give him a call? And I was surprised. I see Morton Blackwell back there. I didn't know I was going to be seen here, so I might embarrass him a little bit. Because I gave the LI a call just randomly. And 2 weeks later, I had a plane ticket. I was going to D.C. for my first trip ever on a plane to learn about conservative journalism. And shortly after, I went back to Ball State, and I said, you know what, I can hone in on this one thing around a freshman reading program where they pay this author thousands, $25,000 to come in and talk about how they should ban fast food for kids. Like, this seems like a good place to start. And the reaction I got from just starting to write about this one program and how I didn't think they should use my money for this was absolutely unbelievable. It started just with when I found out that Eric Schlosser was getting $30,000 to come speak for 45 minutes, and then they had to mandate that everybody go because nobody wanted to hear him talk anyway. And so we just kept, I kept going, and you know, I was posting things about professor salaries and you know the things they were teaching, and I didn't think it was good, a good use of money. And the reaction I got was unbelievable. I started getting nasty letters. People were calling my house. And you know, it was really aggressive. So then I said, wow, there is something to this. This is a bigger problem than I thought it was. And you know, there was times when I'd get weird phone calls. I mean, I had to shut down my school email a few times because my peers were writing such nasty things to me. And they're posting things on the internet that you can imagine what they would do to a young girl with Photoshop that were just really hurtful. And I would call somebody at LI, and there was always someone to talk to. And they would say, yeah, you shouldn't take this. You should, you know, when they say something bad about you, you should write about that. And you got to tell people what's happening. And then there'd be people in the community that would see the stuff going in the paper, and they'd invite me over to their home to have dinner to make sure I was okay. And I even got a call from Representative Mike Pence's office, who asked me if I needed help, because they knew it was happening to me. And all those things really meant a lot to me, because it would have been hard to keep going and doing those things if I didn't have that kind of outside support. And so then it came time for me to graduate, and I was just, you know, I got bit by this journalism bug. I said, you know what, I could do this all day long. But, you know, I was broke. What am I going to do? And then Ally said, well, hey, come out for an internship, free housing, and, you know, maybe you can get a job out here after that. So I packed up all my stuff in a car, what didn't fit, went to Goodwill, and I went out to D.C. for the summer, August 2005. And then I got to meet a lot of good people, and at the end of the year in July, Human Events had an opening. Somebody I met through my internship that used to have the job reporting and said, hey, you know, my old job is open. You know, would you be intimidated to walk up to Hillary Clinton and stick a microphone in her face and ask her a tough question? And I kind of thought, well, maybe, but yeah, I'll do it. It's how I got the job. And my editor, Terry Jeffrey, gave me a tape recorder, and he says, here's a question, go ask Hillary Clinton. And so I did. You know, I have a press pass, and I get to watch this stuff up close that I never imagined would be happening, but I'm a conservative journalist, and a lot of people don't understand it. They think I got this job just to be opportunistic. They'll say, so what's that like, reporting for Human Events? Do they have, like, you know, is it just, like, a good gig? Like, no, I actually believe in this stuff. I want these people, you know, like they did in college, to quit taking my money, to quit voting for these votes. You know, when there's something for an entitlement program, I want to go up to them and say, do you know how much this is going to cost? And they'll say no. And it just goes on and on. But this isn't a speech about what I do now. It's a speech about all the conservatives that reached out to help me get to where I'm at. You know, someone identified me. Otherwise, I'd just be an angry girl going back in a financial aid office, mad, probably working all these part-time jobs again. And now I get to do this thing that I really, really believe in. And I don't think this is unusual. This is what conservatives do to help each other. You guys come to meetings like this, you talk to each other, you reach out, and we bring each other up by their own bootstraps. And I think a lot of kids right now in college were like I was then. They're mad, they're angry, and they're targets by the left. They're the ones that get coddled by a lot of the school programs, that will get coddled by a lot of the big government programs. And I think we need to keep reaching out to these unlikely people and say, we have a message of hope. We have a message, you know, free market and an enterprise, and if you want to work hard, you can get ahead, because that's not what the other people are telling them. And so as I wrap up, but a lot of the younger kids that are politically attuned are into this, you know, Republican big government Republicanism that keeps Lincoln Chafee in office for a lot of years. And then everybody says, well, we need to get Ronald Reagan back. We got to get back to this Ronald Reagan conservatism. And people like me, I didn't know him. So when they say, well, what would Reagan do?